Delicious. Of course your daughter would. Yeah. We're kindred spirits.
Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hello, welcome. I'm Dr. Deborah.
Hi, it's Therapist Kelly.
How are you, dear Kelly?
Catching my breath. Catching my breath.
Me too. I feel like I'm on speed.
I swear. Well, it's so funny. I'm obsessed with a new show. I don't know if you've seen it. It's called Nurse Jackie. My mom got me into it. I'm obsessed with it. It's so good. You gotta watch this.
So wait, it's topping out over the Fosters?
100%.
Better than the Fosters?
It's an addiction. I'm not kidding you. It's so good.
I'm so excited. But I just started one of your favorites.
Which one?
Friday Night Lights.
Oh, that's ridiculous. That is such a good show. Oh,
it's ridiculous that I took so long to.
Yes. It is delicious. I wish I could watch it again.
See, but I'm a binger, basically.
That's what I'm doing. So, I mean, I'm a small binger. Like, I feel like you're like a big.
I'm on a series, that's it. It's like every night, you know, when we're watching TV, it's like two or three episodes a night.
That's
so
we
got through. The what was the last one that we were watching? The Heart of Dixie.
Oh,
so ridiculous, but so I got so invested in the characters.
Yes.
That on the last show, they did this whole. They brought everybody together, and it's not part of the show, but they have like an exit where they were all singing and dancing together as the whole character. And I was crying. I was like, I'm gonna miss my Zoe, Zoe Hart and Wade and all these people. And I was so proud of myself because I predicted for the whole seasons, which there were four of them.
Yeah.
That who was going to end up together.
Really?
Yes, I was so proud of myself.
But anyway, yeah, as I was saying, I feel like this Nurse Jackie, basically the bottom line is she is a nurse who's addicted to narcotics, and it's like an addiction. And I feel like that with the show. It's almost like Breaking Bad. Like there was like that addict component.
Yeah.
So
is it really serious, or does it have some comedic
both aspects? Both, but pretty, yeah, pretty much both. But it's so good. But anyway, like, yeah, I kind of feel like that, this like, I don't know, addictive quality. And my dark chocolate is still
there. It's
right there. Yes.
When do you even have time to watch these shows?
Okay, so this is so funny. So it's a David and I watch like maybe 1 hour a night, and that's about it.
That's it.
Now, if I have like a half hour in between, I'll either meditate or I'll watch a show, like in between me running around like a crazy person.
So basically you put the kids to bed around like 7:30?
Yes, and then like London will sometimes sneak out, so let's say 8. So we have like a good hour. I go to bed early.
Early.
I'm like, because they, you know, I get up at like 5:36, up and at them. No messing around. Thank God I'm a morning person.
I am so glad those days are over.
You are.
I'm so glad.
You should be. Oh my God, I'm dying.
I used to always want to strangle Tiffany. Not for real. Nobody take that seriously. Just kidding.
Yes.
Because she, for some reason, she was not an early person, but for her whole high school years, she ended up taking the early class in high school. So she didn't have to start until 8 or 8:30.
But
she took the 7 o'clock class, which meant then I had to be up at 6:15.
She did.
And on the weekends, she would sleep till noon or
That's
1.
Weird.
And she'd stay up. Yeah. And I would say, how is my kid getting enough sleep? At midnight, because I'm more of a night person, she'd still be like washing her face and going to bed. You're going to bed
at
midnight.
God.
And then you're going to get yourself up. And she did every day at 5:30.
Stop.
To have her coffee and to do her little routine. I couldn't believe it. I did not know how she could function on so little sleep.
I remember in high school, our first class was 7:20, which I think is horrible.
Mandatory. Like it was.
Like everybody. The bell rang at 7:20, which I'm like, oh my God. And I always felt like they should reverse it. Like elementary school kids didn't start till 9, but high school kids started at 7:20.
And like, that's when they need the most sleep.
That's what I'm saying.
Teenagers need to like sleep it because otherwise they would drive us all crazy.
I mean, it's insane. Exactly.
I remember that. Babies and teenagers need to sleep, and old people.
And parents. So anyway,
Oh my God.
Well, first of all, we didn't even welcome everybody to the
show. Yeah. Hello and welcome to our show. So glad you're listening. If you have any phone calls for us today, 323-203-0815. Again, 323-203-0815. And this segment of our show and the whole show is sponsored by Kim Gold, the author of the business memoir Gold Standard, How to Rock the World and Run an Empire. This book is called A Front Row Seat to a Huge Upheaval and so many more good things. It's a great book. She's a great lady. She's been so generous with us to sponsor our show. We love her. We love her sisters.
Yes.
We love everybody she introduces us to. In fact, she's going to be on our show when you, Kelly, are going off to Hawaii and abandoning me again.
I know. And it's like such a double-edged sword because I really want to stay, like, just to host with you guys. Like, isn't that funny? Really.
It'll be a fun show, though.
Yeah.
And she and I are so similar in age and such, so we'll have a lot of stuff to talk about.
Exactly. Yes.
And so we'll see who our guests will be then, too. But
yeah.
Yeah. So speaking of people who we love, I get to go see Tiffany this coming weekend.
Oh, you're going to see her again? You guys see each other a lot, which is great.
You know, it's not that much. The last time I saw her was over the holidays.
So
that
will really
be, yeah. Yeah.
God, okay. So you're
She left before New Year's. So two full months.
I feel like we are, before the show was saying, we're like kindred spirits. Like, I have not met her, but everything you've talked about, I'm like, I love this girl. Like, I just feel like, do you see similarities in our health stuff or not really? Is she so different?
Oh, yeah. Your personalities are really different.
Okay.
Yeah.
But the interest in health.
The things that you're interested in and all that stuff. And you would just get such a kick out of her. Someday you'll meet her.
Is she more reserved? Like, a little bit more?
You know, it's hard to say that. As a young child, she was incredibly shy.
Oh, she was.
Like, so shy that she literally, I would talk for her. And I didn't want to, but like I knew what she was wanting to say, but she couldn't say it. Until one of my friends actually said, you know, she's never going to talk for herself if you keep doing it. You're doing a good job, but shut up.
Yeah.
Let her suffer through a little bit of that. So I started to do a lot more things with her, like not force her, but I mean, like my parents were not good with me about my shyness because I was, can you believe that? I was shy.
You were?
I was the stand behind my mother's leg and hold on for dear life if anybody came into my view who I didn't know or didn't trust. Yeah, I was just so painfully shy.
Yeah.
And I'm the one who really brought myself out of it because I was actually shamed a lot for being so shy. Aww. So I felt doubly like terrible about myself and super shy. So I tried to do things with her to sort of like coax her to make games out of engaging with people.
That's so smart.
You know, so be like, all right, I'm going to have a challenge for you. I want you to take the check and here's the money.
Yeah.
And she was good at math. Like, go and figure out if you can get the right change.
That's smart.
You know, and tell them what the change is. So as she got into, you know, higher up in grammar school and middle school, we did a lot more of the, okay, like, I'll be right here, but let me coach you through this. And here's, take the walk, do this, take the step, say one word, say this,
that's
say that.
That's smart.
So now, you know, she's definitely quiet around some people, but when she's comfortable, she's very boisterous and very dynamic and like, very expressive.
That's like David. That's funny.
Yeah.
He's kind of shy and that's so cool. Well,
he's always been so open with me, so
that's
it's hard to.
I know, because he feels comfortable.
Oh,
that's so funny.
That's
sweet. There's not a shy bone in my body at all, ever.
And there never was.
Never. Like, I feel like I came out of the womb like Ethel Merman, you know, like
before Moose, your dog, came out of your womb, right? Of course,
exactly.
Ethel.
Oh, Merman. By the way, this is very funny about Moose. Okay. So I took him to this holistic vet who's amazing. He's not even a vet. I'm sorry. He's like a nutritionist who, like, somebody had referred me, whatever. I went to this place, and you know, he said, I hand to God, he's like, you know, this dog feels really human to me. I almost like fell off the chair. I'm like, I know, I thought it was just me. He's like, yeah, whippets tend to be like very human as dogs. And I'm like, oh my God, I'm obsessed with you. I love you. You just like said the words that I've been feeling for so long. And I was like, and coming from you, you're like a dog person. Like, he's going tomorrow to Korea to like rescue dogs. So he knows dogs. And I was like, you know your shit, dude. Like, those whippets are people. Like, it was just really funny.
That is so cute.
But yeah. And he was like laughing. He's like, you really love your dog. I'm like, you have
no idea. Yeah, he's such a sweet dog too.
Oh,
you know, after our guest last week, Ariel Ford, who, How to Turn Your Mate into a Soulmate. You know, I went home and I was looking at my cats, and you know, we talked about it could be with an animal also.
Yes.
You know, they do stare at me in a really different way than a stranger cat.
Yes.
You know,
yes.
It's like, it's really weird because one of them will gaze into my eyes until I am awake. Like, I could be asleep, like half awake, and he's just completely staring at me with his face in my face. And I'll look at him and go, good morning, puppy cat. And then he'll start purring, like just from the sound of my voice. And then he'll start he still nibbles. Oh, I can't get him to stop nibbling. I tried everything that she said, but I really think that that's his way of giving me a kiss.
That's what I'm thinking. That's exactly what I'm thinking.
So why would you ever reprimand an animal for wanting to kiss you? He doesn't bite hard. He doesn't do it to make pain. He's
peck.
Like, Mama. Yes. Come on, Mama. I love you.
It's so, so cute. Animals are the best. I can't take it. They're the best.
They are the best. Yeah, so that was a pretty cool show.
Yes, with Aria Ford. So again, if you missed that, her book is Turn Your Mate Into Your Soulmate. It was really, really interesting. You know, she talked a lot about, I don't know, basically how in the past she would write books about, you know, like relationships and how to find that. But she was saying that a lot of her married friends were saying, well, look, I have it, but how do I keep it? So I really liked her philosophies and things like that. I thought that was really interesting.
And I really love the concept of really looking at your partner from a glass half full perspective as opposed to a glass half empty, that our relationship to our stories that we tell about people is really, really important. I actually used that with somebody the other day. I said, you know, this is the story that you tell about your former relationship with this woman with whom you are still in love. Mm. But what you keep telling is the story only about what she did that hurt you, and you're not telling any of the story. It's like several chapters are missing where you actually kind of cheated on her. You know, did some things, even though you know, there was a sort of, you know how women will say, well, okay, we're broken up, but they don't mean it.
Of course. it's dramatic.
You know, it's still, it's a breakup.
Yes.
A lot of breakups are not breakups. And so I keep trying to coach him to understand that just because she said, fine, we're going to take a break, did not mean that she in her mind thought that they were broken up.
Exactly.
You know, so when he went out and just frivolously dated and did everything to sort of buy time, because he's not a guy that's very easily alone.
Yeah.
He ended up creating her story is that he cheated on her. So it's like, all right, how do we look at our relationships and try to tell a different story?
Very true. Well, and I love too, somebody once said to me was like, can you love your partner despite their challenges? And like, it's a really great question, because, you know, people like come to me all the time, but he has this problem or she has this problem and I can't deal with it. Well, it's like, okay, that is true. That's there. Can you love them despite that? I mean, that's the question. So I don't know. I'm just thinking about relationships.
Absolutely. We'll keep talking about that. Just to remind you all, we do usually have a guest on. We do have one today, but we've just been informed that she's caught in a snowstorm. So she's going to be a bit delayed today. Yeah. Her name is Dr. Laura Berman, and she's going to talk to us about her book, Quantum Love. But it's going to be a little while. So Kelly and I are going to just fill up space with our little bantering back and forth.
And how could we ever be boring? Come on.
I know. Exactly. Exactly. So I went to, speaking of love.
Yeah.
I went to my stepmom, who has never really gotten over the passing of my father. But shortly after my father passed, there was a gentleman who lives in the building. She lives in one of those condo complexes.
Okay.
And he apparently had his eye on her for quite a
while.
Yes. And
this
was
so cute.
Yes. So he had his 99th birthday this weekend.
Holy cow.
And so she, you know, I can't say this is not a man of her passion at all, but it's somebody who she spends time with.
Yes.
Know? So because he lives upstairs. So he
comes, so cute.
She goes up for dinner. Aww. But then she comes back down. I have two parts of the story. She comes back down. She has got like a little shrine of my father in one of the bedrooms where she has the picture of the two of them from their wedding.
Are you serious?
Yeah, I'm serious. And she kisses him. She carries little cards
I'm
that
dying.
He brought to her every day. Every time I see her at lunch, do you know that your father gave this to me?
Oh, my God. This is so sweet.
So sweet. You know, they didn't get married until my father was 80 years old. So,
are you kidding? Yeah. I didn't know this.
They lived together in, quote, sin for a few years.
You're
but
right.
He met her after a year after my mom passed, which is over 20
years
ago. And that's when they got together. But anyway, so this gentleman, Max, who, you know, this has been now. So he was 95 when she met him. But sharp as a tack.
Wow.
So he had his party at the Beverly Wilshire Hotel.
Oh, my God.
And talk about, I mean, like, this was in a grand ballroom with over 400 people. And with all of these, like, he's done a lot for the world.
Yeah.
Guess how much money he gave away during this event.
How much?
$1.8 million he donated to charities.
No way.
Yes.
Wow. What does he do? Like, oh, my God.
You know, that's a really great question. He had a lot to do with building and development, and
that's
just
amazing.
One of those men who Holocaust survivor.
Oh, he
who
was?
Just ended up everything he touched turned to gold.
Incredible.
Yeah, absolutely incredible. But you know, you look at that and you see this man that everybody was coming up to him and giving him kisses and thank you so much for being there. I could tell though he was totally overwhelmed.
I'm sure.
Like deer in the headlights. I'm loving the attention.
But it's a lot.
Looking like, what is all of this? And plus at 99, we can't be entirely together upstairs.
Exactly.
You know?
Holy smokes, 99. Do you know that my great aunt, this is so funny, lived to 113?
Whoa.
Oldest Jewish woman alive.
No way.
Was. Isn't that crazy?
113.
My mom's aunt. So my great aunt. Isn't that amazing?
Yes. So what was the secret? What'd she do?
I don't know.
Did you have, you know how like some of the people that you look at them, what was that guy's name? He smoked cigars all the time.
Oh, George Burns.
George Burns.
Yeah, like he just drank and like smoked.
Drank and smoked. Yeah. And he lived to be what, 99 or something?
Incredible.
Bob Hope. Yeah. So what was
her secret? I don't know. She loved children. So she was around children a lot. I don't know. Other than that, there was no real... It's incredible, right?
Well, with your children, she would have only lived to be 62.
130. I'm lucky I'm pushing my age. I'm not kidding.
It's so funny. We use your children as a joking playground every time, but they are the cutest. Just so everybody knows that. They are the sweetest and the cutest.
They are cute,
so
I have to
adorable.
Say. They are really cute. They are. Thank God, or else they'd be in a Cambodian orphanage or somewhere
else. But you
know,
how could they be anything but trouble? Kelly, look at you.
Oh my God, I'm a little trouble.
You're boisterous, you're so dynamic, right? Aww. These cannot be flat affect
children. that's what it's so true. Like somebody said to me, you know what, Kelly, would you really want boring kids? And I was like, kind of, yeah. I would for a little bit so I could breathe. But the truth is, I know that they do. They both have so much zest and personality, and it's like going to serve them so well.
Oh, totally.
So it is a gift. And like, I just like how they think. I really like how they think. I don't know if I ever told you, Remy said to me once, Mom, aliens think that we're aliens. Like, and it was such a like a brilliant comment. I was like, you're right. Because if aliens saw us, they would think like we're the aliens. I can't explain it, but I just like the way they think.
That is very high level thinking.
That's what
for
I'm
a
saying.
Little munchkin. He's six
and
years
a half,
old.
Yeah.
Six and a half.
And he said it. He was probably six or so. Yeah. So I like the way that they think. You know, there's a lot going on in there. So I guess they got to get it out through their, you know, physical stuff. But
these are the things that one as a parent never forgets what their children say.
I read it down.
Yes. My daughter, she was 3 years old. Uh-huh. And I always tried to teach her a bigger word, you know, just try to really just rub it in. Figure she'll either understand it or she won't.
Yeah.
So I was like, come on, honey, let's go outside. She goes, Mommy, I am not going outside and I'm not negotiating. And she was 3 years old.
That is really cute.
So she grasped it and she put it in context. Yes. This is the same little girl who was saying bepitals for vegetables. And then when she finally gets, she goes, Mom, I got it now. It's not bepitals, it's vegetables. I'm like, that's it. You hold on to those vegetables for as long as you can.
So cute.
So cute.
I remember once I was trying to get Remy to put on his shoes. He must have been about 2 or 3. And he said, Mom, I read in a newspaper, I don't know where he got that from, that 500 years ago, people didn't wear shoes. And it was really funny. And I was like, oh my God, like, look at how manipulative he was at like 2 or 3. Because he's saying, like, look, 500 years ago, people didn't wear shoes. Why do I have to now? You know, it was brilliant. But that's just like, it's kind of funny.
You know, that's a really good thing for us to talk about. Let's talk about manipulation for a moment, because there are all kinds of forms of manipulation that show up. Now, you know, we give that such a bad label, like that manipulation is somehow a bad thing. But it's really part of our survival. We would not be able to survive in this world if we did not become master manipulators.
That's an interesting thought. Okay, so tell me more. What do you mean?
The threat of abandonment is very high when you're born, right? I mean, you are completely dependent on a parent, a person to take care of your needs, because no human infant can take care of themselves. So that happens for years, right? We're the only species where it takes that long for us to even be able to do anything on our own without somebody else assisting us constantly. So the need to be able to figure out the survival of the fittest to some degree, those children who can be better manipulators are going to be better, more loved. They're going to be more cared for because they know how to get their needs met.
My kids are getting smothered.
Yes.
I'm right? not kidding. Yes, right? But that's really interesting because I also think it takes some intelligence to be a really good manipulator.
Oh, absolutely.
Do you know what I mean?
But then there's also emotional manipulators as adults. They're not so cute, right?
I have a friend. Yes, exactly.
So somewhere along that continuum of development, I think it's our responsibility as a society and as parents to make sure that we teach our children about transferring, if you will, constructive manipulation
versus emotional.
Just needing to, you know, cheat and steal from people.
So, okay, so when you see emotional manipulation, like, I know a woman who is the prime manipulator, but I feel like the reason that she keeps on doing it is because it's working. And so, you know, why would she stop if she's been successful basically all her life, you know, doing that? So I'm curious your thoughts around that. Like, is
sounds like the reinforcement, right?
Yes,
we're less likely to stop behaviors if we continually get reinforcement for them, or even if we get intermittent reinforcement where we don't get it all the time, but if the payoff is good enough at certain times, then we're bound to keep that behavior in.
Yes.
Right? And
yes.
Sometimes being manipulative with somebody benefits both people.
Right.
Right? I mean, I'm just trying to think of an example. But I think, like, women in our society, to some degree, are taught to use our tears to get sympathy.
Yes.
Now, I don't know that it's a conscious manipulation for most people, but certainly, unless you grew up in the family where you heard, which I did actually, you know, if you just don't stop crying, I'll give you something to cry about.
Yes.
You know, if you have like a sort of a little bit of a softball type of parent who is, you really succumbs to a child's big crocodile tears, then those are going to keep coming. And then what's the likely transference, right?
Exactly.
You get into a relationship, you're not getting what you want, and the tears just come naturally flowing. And then how can a man be that man to say, stop crying, you know, I can't take you seriously when you're crying, because then that makes him look like the bad guy. So to be the good guy, he has to be soft and gentle at that time.
So
but over
true.
Time, a lot of men end up feeling very manipulated because they don't feel that they have a fair chance at dealing with their own feelings, too, because the woman's tears takes precedence over.
So interesting. I remember a boss told me once, if you ever want to, you know, if you ever want to win an argument, cry. He told me that once because he's like, oh, men just don't know what to do. They kind of stand there and like, you know, and I think you're absolutely right. That's so interesting.
Mm.
Never thought about it from that standpoint, but yeah.
But then you have the really terrible manipulators who, you know, really do things to actually harm somebody else. You know, the sociopaths, they're consciously manipulating to steer the entire ship in their direction.
That's so scary.
It
well, how do you
scary.
Draw the line? Like, what is like, you know, because I'm telling you, I know a lot of manipulators out there, but like, how do you know if it's like, you know, past the point? Because you're saying if it's like almost criminal, like, you know, in that sense, or?
You know, that's a really great question. I don't even know that I have the right answer for that, but I certainly can think back on some of the relationships that I've been in where I really did feel that I was being emotionally manipulated, and I didn't like it. And I think, it's over time it becomes really clear that, you know, if you start to feel bad about yourself in the relationship and your partner is telling you things like, you know, you can't find anybody who's going to treat you like I do. And you really stop and think about it. You go, that treatment that you're giving me is really not that darn good. But you start to believe that, then you're probably in an emotionally manipulative relationship
sense.
Where somebody's literally systematically attempting to strip away your self-worth, because the more you feel bad about yourself, then whoever you're with, you're more likely to become more dependent on and reliant on.
Yes.
And therefore, they have a more fertile ground to continue to sort of almost brainwash you into believing that you can't be there without you. And then that gives them license to become harsher and meaner and more manipulative.
Makes sense.
Have you ever been with anybody that...
No. I'm just thinking that. Thank God, no. Yeah. But I know a lot of people who have... it's terrifying. You have, haven't you?
I have.
I was going to say, you probably have.
But that's that whole, you know, as Ariel Ford was talking about last week too, you know, it's like kind of, I don't know how much I'm into the law of attraction, but I definitely believe that we are magnets for things that we are familiar with. And, you know, if I grew up kind of in a difficult household and I didn't have good skill sets about how to attract or even be able to discriminate to determine somebody who was going to be a healthy mate for me versus somebody who was going to take advantage of me and treat me badly.
Sure.
So I had many really rotten relationships. I remember this one guy that I was dating, although he ended up getting his, which was pretty funny. But he broke up with me on Valentine's Day. Now, he was significantly older than I was.
Okay.
He was also married, which I didn't know that he was married.
He was married?
Yes, and I had no idea, so I broke up with him. You know,
yeah,
then he came back and said that he was divorced and or separated and all that kind of stuff. You know, but he used me for everything. He didn't have a car, so it was me who drove everybody. He didn't have a job. I'm 17, I'm in high school, and I'm working at three job, so I'm the one taking us out to dinner and all this stuff. So he breaks up with me on Valentine's Day. Well, he doesn't break up with me. He says he can't go out with me on Valentine's Day. So I went at that time. You know, I had access to going to clubs and such with my friends. I don't know if I should say that. Nobody can arrest me now after all these years, right?
No, you're fine. Yeah. You're safe.
So I show up with my friends, you know, really disappointed and kind of upset. But, you know, nothing that a couple of good dances and, you know, just having fun wasn't going to cure. And he walks in with two women.
Are you
kidding me?
Two of them. That's disgusting.
And then has some song and dance story. And, of course, I was just too not good with myself to be able to just say at that moment, yeah. So did our guest just chime
in? Yes.
Okay, awesome. So we're going to give her a call. While you're doing that, I'm going to introduce our guest. And this week we have Dr. Laura Berman, a world-renowned sex and relationship educator and therapist, the founder and director of the Berman Institute in Chicago, which specializes I'm doing vepidals like my daughter, which specializes in sexual health and individual and couples therapy, and assistant clinical professor of psychiatry and obstetrics gynecology at the Feinberg School of Medicine and Northwestern University. Considered a thoughtful leader in her field, Dr. Berman is the New York Times bestselling author of many books on sex, love, and relationships. And today, she's going to speak with us about her latest and greatest, Quantum Love. Use your body's atomic energy to create the relationship you desire.
All right, so we're going to get her on the
phone. Hello.
Hello.
Hi, we're so excited to talk to you.
How's the snow?
I'm so sorry.
No worries. How's the snow?
Hi.
How's the snow?
It's coming.
It's coming.
Pouring down.
Oh, my goodness.
So you're in Chicago,
and
right?
I'm in Chicago, and the roads are covered in ice, too.
Dr. Laura,
everything's been at a standstill.
I have a personal question I've been dying to ask you. Were you are the Berman and Berman sisters at one point. Did you have a television show together?
Yes.
So my very first television appearance was on your show.
Isn't that crazy?
It was?
Yes.
Were we nice to you? Feels like a lifetime ago.
You were very nice to me.
Was it a good time?
Yeah, wasn't that like in 2001, I think, is when.
Wow. Yeah, it was a long time ago.
Yes,
and
it was.
That's so funny. What did you come on for?
Something about creative love dating or something like that.
Cool.
I don't even remember.
That is so cool.
I remember meeting another woman that you had on the show that had something about like red hot sex in the kitchen or something like that. Some book.
That's really funny.
It's amazing all the things they thought of.
Yes,
oh my gosh.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, and it was a fun show. It was a good show. And I always felt so excited that I could put that on my bio when my first book came out. I was on the Berman and Berman show. And everybody said, oh, that's a great show.
Yay.
And I have to do a shout out. My mom loves you, by the way. She, like, when I told her you were coming on the show, she was very excited. So just wanted to put that out there.
Good.
Okay.
Thank you, guys.
Yeah,
and thank you for being so understanding. It's like been one of those days, and I had no way to reach you. I hate that. I was like, what do I do? And Lindsay, I just heard from, she's in jury duty and had an Bell cup.
No.
Oh, my God. That's so funny.
Well, that's the one good thing about Kelly and me is we really never run out of things to say. So
we do not stop talking.
We were quite fertile in our conversation.
My husband has earplugs. He's like, you don't stop. So don't worry. We're all good.
Yeah. But since we don't have as much time as we wanted to, let's dive right in. Tell us, what is quantum love and why do we want it?
We definitely want it. So quantum love is all the yumminess, intensity of new love that so many of us in long-term relationships wish we could get back to, you know, when you can't get enough of each other and you have that passion between you.
Oh, yeah.
So quantum love has all of that, but imbued with a soul-to-soul connection. So it's got all the depth and connection and soul-to-soul understanding that a really deep, healthy, long-term relationship has, but with all the intensity and passion that many long-term relationships lack. And it's really about physics, quite frankly. And this is, you know, what I've discovered is that over the past 25 to 50 years, scientists have been discovering, mostly in the field of quantum physics and all sorts of science, that we are all made of pure energy, you know, at our core. But that energy doesn't stay within our bodies. It radiates out and affects everyone around us, especially those with whom we have those close relationships through a principle that's, the technical term for it is quantum entanglement. There's science behind this, but when two atoms entrained to one another, entangled to one another, with one another. They are forever matched. So we're all walking around, especially in our relationships, like human tuning forks that are matching each other's frequency.
Interesting.
And what I discovered as I started to study this and play with it in my own life and with my patients is that different energetic frequencies create different results, and that the energy that our bodies hold and emanates out is affected by the emotional states and thoughts we hold. So there's like categories of thoughts that I call, for the purposes of explaining this in my book, ego frequency, and a category of thoughts and feelings and emotional states that we hold that I really call home frequency, because it really is our natural state of being. Mm-hmm. The fears, our insecurities, our negative stories kind of get in the way of that. And so without words or actions, beyond the world of words and actions, which is what I think of as more of a logistical field, right? Mm-hmm. The actions and words we take and do in our relationship, this is beyond words, because in reality, we're taking in, all of us, 40 billion bits of information every millisecond, but we can only consciously process them in our brain about 2,000 bits. Mm-hmm. So there's a whole world happening beyond our conscious awareness. And what I discovered is when I teach people how to hold those home frequency states in their bodies, everything changes for the better in their relationship. And their partner entrains to them, matches them. We're already doing it, matching back and forth, back and forth. It's why when you walk in the house, you can tell your partner's in a bad mood before you even see them.
Yes.
You know?
Yes. Before you even nod.
Quantum love. Yeah. And when you're in a kind of a grumpy mood, has nothing to do with your partner, but you're just feeling down or angry or whatever, even without words, they sort of match you there. They're kind of feeling a little defensive, or they're a little tenuous mm-hmm. around you, or, you know, they feel it. They don't know they're feeling it, but they feel it. And what I discovered is when you can shift yourself out of those lower frequency states to the higher frequency ones, and I teach you all sorts of techniques for doing that, then you really create magic in your relationship.
Wow. Can you share one of those techniques
exactly.
with us and for our listeners?
Yeah. Well, and I'll give you an example, and then I'll tell you how to do it. So
sure.
One of the first times I really was this could be was in my own relationship. And I was just sort of figuring out and playing with some different techniques. And one of them that I was playing with was something that I call the open-hearted meditation, which basically is moving you into home frequency. It's moving your body into coherence, it's called by scientists, where your electromagnetic fields of your brain and heart are synchronized, which is a very powerful, positive effect. Mm-hmm. So I remember it was summertime and I was out on our back deck with my husband, and he was upset with me about something that had happened. I don't even remember what it was, but he was mad. And one of the things that I was with him about is because, I mean, he's so freaking smart, but it's impossible to win an argument with him. It's so, you know, and I'm someone that could win any argument before I met him. I could either manipulate you out of your position or bully you out of it or smart you out of it or whatever. But he's so freaking good that he, you know, always is just, he's just like a, he just, he's just a Supreme Court. So I'm doing that.
Hang on, Dr. Laura, we're losing you a little bit.
Yeah, Dr. Berman, if you can hear us.
Are you losing me?
Yeah, we're losing you a little bit.
Can you hear me?
Now
That's
we
better.
Can.
Go ahead.
Don't move.
Oh, now you can? All right, I won't move. So I was saying that I was doing what I always do in this argument when he would be upset with me about something. If he's talking, I would normally be thinking about all the reasons he was wrong and thinking about my comeback of what I was going to say to show him he was wrong, you know?
Yes. Sure.
But instead of doing that, I moved into the open-hearted state. I moved into home frequency without changing my face or my body language, without using any words, just let him keep talking. And all of a sudden, this man, who this never happens to, lost his train of thought.
Wow.
And he just, his shoulders relaxed, and he just kind of sat down next to me, and I leaned my head on his shoulder, and I told him I loved him, and we were able to have like this really cool conversation. And it's because he matched me. I held that state.
So unbelievable.
A great way, this open-hearted meditation, and I actually have a guided open heart meditation on my website that you can be guided through at drlauraberman.com. But I'll tell you the principles now. Basically, what you do is you get really quiet, you close your eyes, take some deep breaths, and then you think of a time in your life when you felt pure, unadulterated, unconditional love, joy, bliss. It could have been when you held your baby for the first time, or you finished a huge project, or...
Uh-oh, we lost you again. Maybe it's that snow.
Yeah. You back?
Can you hear us?
Dr. Berman?
Well, while we wait for her to get back, I'm going to try that open-hearted. Right. That's hard because it's like, it's so true. When you're like in a fight with your partner, all you want to do is like think about like, oh, he's wrong. And like, well, how can I win the art? You know, it's so interesting. But I want to try that to see
Me
if they'll
too.
Match.
Yeah, our defensiveness can just become such a powerful weapon against each other. I mean, and Christopher's brutal with that. He has a very powerful protective gear.
Yes.
That's
like armor.
Mean.
Huh?
Yeah. And I can be too. And then I feel like I need to lash back. Did we actually lose her off the call? Or
she looks like she's still there, but hopefully, yeah, maybe she's trying to get service. I'll tell her to call back in.
I was wondering, yeah, if I would just do that.
Yeah.
Okay. So, Dr. Berman, if you can hear us, just give us a call back.
Yeah, exactly.
This is very exciting stuff. Yeah. So, in case she doesn't come back on, then the book is Quantum Love, Use Your Body's Atomic Energy to Create the Relationship You Desire. And since she's not here to tell us about her book, I can read off a couple of the items in the table of content because those are interesting. She talks about what quantum love is, meet your inner quantum physicist, discover your energy profile. She's got four commitments she talks about. I will take responsibility for the energy I bring into the relationship. She also has, I will get clear on what I want out of love. I will take responsibility for my body's energy, and I will realize when I am stuck and shift from brain to mind. And I know she talks about, I didn't get a chance to read the book from cover to cover, but
yeah,
sounds like some really awesome
it's
things.
Really neat. Well, maybe we do have an email. Maybe you and I can discuss that.
Absolutely.
You know,
let's do it.
Okay.
Why don't you read it?
Okay. Dear hosts, I love it when you talk about relationships because I'm just a disaster when it comes to matters of love. I'm a twice divorced woman, 48, with two kids, now adults, one for my first marriage and another for my second. I started dating a man 4 months ago who I really like, but he wants to have sex a lot, and I'm just not that interested anymore. I don't want to have another failed relationship, but I don't want to force myself to have sex when I don't feel in the mood. I think he has something. I think this has something to do with menopause, but I've never been a super horny gal anyway. What can I do to keep him interested without having to make myself do something I'm not that into? I find him attractive, but would rather cuddle than have sex. Am I weird? Any tips?
Well, I can speak as a postmenopausal. She back
Wait,
on?
Yep. Dr. Berman?
I was yakking away. I didn't know I lost
We hung up. You bored us.
Well, yeah. We're going to make do. So if you can, take us back to the guided meditation. We're getting quiet. We're closing our eyes. We're deep breathing. And we're
okay.
Thinking of totally unconditional love experience. And that's where we lost you.
Yeah. Like, you know, anything. It could be when you held your baby or you kissed someone for the first time or you finished an amazing project that you worked really hard on. But you put yourself there in first person in your mind. So you're not seeing yourself holding the baby. You're looking down in your imagination, and you can see the baby in your arms, you know?
Okay.
So you're there in first person, imagining that you can employ all of your senses. What would it feel like, taste like, sound like, all of that. And what you're doing is that the brain can't tell the difference between rehearsal or imagination and real life. So you're changing what's happening in your brain and in your body. So what you'll often feel as you hold this date for a little bit is a kind of bubbling and spreading in your chest. It feels really good. That is what coherence feels like, where the electromagnetic fields of your brain and heart are aligned. That's what home frequency feels like. You see what I'm saying?
Yep.
So I figured out when I was first kind of playing with all this before I wrote the book and coming up with all these different techniques is that you can almost create a biofeedback system for yourself. So if you do this when you're by yourself and you move yourself into open-heartedness and then start thinking about something that stresses you out, and you'll feel the constriction as you move into ego frequency. And then you move back into open-heartedness, and you start to recognize what those two states feel like, and your body starts to recognize it. So, for instance, now I can move myself immediately into open-heartedness without having to think. Or without having to conjure that image in my mind.
So just get,
because I now, it almost is like I've created that body awareness inside myself.
So there's a really good added bonus to this technique as well, because then you're tuning out your husband when he's saying horrible things to you, and you don't even hear them.
Exactly.
And so then you don't want
to... You are, but what you're thinking when you do that, you can think about something totally different, and a lot of my couples that I teach these techniques to who are really in conflict have a hard time conjuring up those images of each other that create open-heartedness, you know? So you can think about anything that puts you into that energetic state. But if you can put yourself into that energetic state and think about things that you love about your partner, or think about positive intentions, ways you want to feel in your relationship with your partner, this is the science behind the law of attraction. That is what quantum physics is. So what quantum love is basically allowing you to use your body and your body's energy to match it with the intention of what you want out of your love life and your relationship. And it changes everything. It really works, and it's extremely powerful, especially when you match it. And I teach you how to do that in the book. When you match that with intentions or your desired relationship goals, the way you really want to feel in your relationship and how you want your partner to show up.
So, okay, so what if, like, I'm all ready for this, and then, like, my partner's not so into it? Could it still work?
Doesn't matter.
Right.
Oh, my gosh, that's the coolest thing about it. I can actually do couple therapy now with one person.
Wow.
Because before, it was so hard when one person didn't want to do it, or when one person didn't think there was a problem or whatever, and trying to get them in. Your partner doesn't even have to know what you're doing.
Oh.
You don't need their buy-in, because they naturally match you. It's what we all do. You're naturally matching them.
Mm-hmm.
But when you start to master this, you're no longer at the effect of their energy. This, to me, is the ultimate power, because you get to hold your own energetic states regardless of what's going on with them, and they match you.
So interesting, because I had an encounter with somebody recently where I could, like, just on sight, I didn't know this person all that well, but I could feel the negative energy just emanating from this person, and it was almost frightened me, because it was, because the words coming out of her mouth were not negative. They were positive, but I was still getting this in, like, the gut of my existence, like, oh, like, almost
you were,
like,
picking it up.
Oh my gosh. So I did something similar to that. Not quite that at all, because I hadn't learned this from you yet. I'm so grateful to have learned it now, but I sort of put myself into more like a, what I would call the empathetic state of just sort of like trying to embrace that this is obviously something was going on with her, and, you know, she wasn't having, you know, a good day, or maybe there was something I had done or anything. I just tried to stay loving, and she walked away. She just turned around and walked away from me, like, like she was not going to have her energy changed.
Wow.
But I could see, because I like
that. And that you will find that. You will find. So here's what happens, and I explain how this works in the book, but basically no one will show up in your reality who is not energetically vibrating in harmony with where you are. That is why people will suddenly kind of disappear from your life and suddenly show up in your life. And this is especially true with love, and especially true with dating, that how you're feeling inside yourself, your stories about your worthiness of love and your worth as a human being and your open-heartedness and your ability to be in that state toward yourself or toward anyone else, those energetic states, how often you hold that home frequency, you know, that is going to dictate who shows up in your life, who you're attracted to, and who you attract in. So lots of people, if you start to live in a higher frequency, or even when you hold those states around groups of people, you will find it either attracts great people, you know, if you're holding home frequency, and it will repel people who can't be with that vibration.
So interesting. Okay, so I know you talk a lot about in the book EHFI. Can you explain a little bit for our listeners about that?
So that is a term I created just to explain how we move in and out of home frequency, because it stands for the Energy Home Frequency Index.
Okay.
Or the Ego Home Frequency Index. So it's basically your EFI, I call it, for all energy in our bodies. It moves in the same kind of shape as like an infinity symbol. Mm. So you're always expanding out and contracting in. And so home frequency is an expansion. Ego frequency is a contraction. And we move in and out from ego to home frequency all day. Unless we're like a guru living on a mountaintop, we're all living in ego frequency at least part of the time. If you just live in home frequency, 51% of the time your life is going to change, I promise. So it doesn't have to be perfect, but understanding where you move into, at what point you move into expansion. So I have a paradigm, a model I created for the book called the Quantum Love Map. And basically, if you can use any aspect of your relationship or your relationship in general and see where you fit energetically based on how you feel when you think about that element of your relationship or your relationship in general. And so there's a continuum from hopelessness and despair to joy and elation and 20 points in between. And anything kind of starting, you know, shame, anger, guilt, frustration, hopelessness, despair, those are all ego frequency vibrations, right? And then starting at around forgiveness, moving on to hopefulness, optimism, joy, love, passion. Those are all home frequency vibrations. And so all of us move in and out of ego to home frequency. But what the EFI does is I help you figure out where you tend to live, what the range is where you tend to live between ego to home frequency and what your typical point of contraction is and expansion. So, for instance, you know, someone may tend to feel at their most pessimistic, hopeless about some element of their relationship. But now they know, once they figure out their EFI, that when they start to feel angry, they're actually moving and transitioning into optimism.
Interesting.
Very interesting.
So it's personalized through the series of questions I ask you. You can personalize and really understand how you, in particular, tend to move in and out of home frequency and where those points of transitions that you can start to be aware of are.
You know what I loved also in your book? I'm a huge believer in intuitives, and I loved when you talked about that and kind of, do you feel like that was sort of where it started for you, where it really kind of made sense? Wow, we're all energy and, you know, that whole thing. Do you feel like that was sort of the inspiration for this?
You would think it would be, but actually I always wanted to be intuitive. And I didn't know that I was until I actually spent an afternoon with Robert Ojeda, who's a famous strategic life intuitive. He's amazing. And he came on my radio show once, and he was helping me take calls and questions. And whatever he was picking up, I was aware that I was picking up too. And all of a sudden I said, wait a minute. I think maybe I am intuitive. He's like, yeah, you are. But I didn't realize that what I'd always done was intuitive. And then I started honing it. But I will tell you this, along the lines of what you were talking about before with that woman who was saying all the right things, but you just felt it.
Sure.
You know, what I have found is as I started to work with these techniques and really build them and exercise them in my own life and teach other people to execute on them, my intuition is through the roof.
Wow.
And I feel energy all over the place and in really good ways, but I can tap into it. It's like now I'm kind of activating another part of my brain, I think, that wasn't really exercised in the same way. That's what I really believe about intuitives and psychics, is that we are all those things.
Yes.
But what happens for most of us, remember what I said, all of us are taking in 40 billion bits of information into our brains every millisecond, and our brains can only consciously process 2,000 of them. I believe that people who are more psychic or mediums or real, like major intuitives, are using more, you know, they're consciously processing more than 2,000.
Yes, sure.
They've trained their brains through their life experiences or through the talents they were born with to access more of that. And what I have found is that with practice, we all access more of that.
Well, this is really fun stuff and so useful. I want to ask you, because we are running out of time, do you ever do any like couples retreats or workshops or anything where you teach this stuff to people?
Yeah, I just gave a fun talk, All About Quantum Love, at Hay House at the Can Do It conference in Seattle. And I am planning more. And coming in July, I am doing an online webinar.
Oh, exciting.
An 8-hour course. Teaching people with Hay House, teaching people how to really live in quantum love. So I'm really excited about that. I actually start taping it tomorrow.
Make sure that you give us a shout out about when that's going to be. We'll do a little shout out for you on our show.
Yes.
To let people know about it.
I absolutely will. And if you want any guided meditations or more information, there are all sorts of resources on my website as well, drlauraberman.com. Just click on quantum love.
Well, thank you so much. You're such a joy, and it was just so interesting. I'm going to practice this today.
Me too. Yeah, I'm so excited.
Yeah,
so
let me know how it goes.
Okay, don't
really work.
Don't get covered in too much snow.
I know. Good luck.
Thank you, Dr. Laura Berman, the author of Quantum Love. Use your body's atomic energy to create the relationship you desired. I wish we had her for the whole show.
I know.
Oh, my gosh. That was so cool.
So neat.
Very exciting. You know, there's a lot of books out there on stuff, and when I read them, it's like, you know, that's just a slightly different language of everything I've already read before.
Sure.
But this sounds so unique.
Novel.
And so
it
different.
It really
and,
does.
And bringing science and love together just gives it so much more credibility to
some. Makes
sense.
I believe that.
Really
100%.
I'm excited to read this from cover to cover.
Yes.
Thank
and
you.
Also, I'm super excited because next week we have John Sally, who is the 15-year MBA veteran, and he's going to talk about his vegan lifestyle and just really interesting guy. Sounds really cool.
Yeah. We didn't get to answer that email, but we will at some other point.
Exactly.
And that's a big one. That's a fun one. You know,
I know.
We could have gotten some of her input. And
yes.
Thanks again to our sponsor, Kim Gold. You are awesome.
We love
Author
you,
Kim. Of Gold Standard, How to Rock the World and Run an Empire. Thank you. Thank you, Kim. Thank you, everybody, for listening. And keep on listening. We'll see you next week.
Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Dr. Deborah and Therapist Kelly Show, only on LA Talk Radio.